A thing that looks like a police box standing in a junkyard. It can move anywhere.
Haven, concentrate on Sin. Give priority to the detectors and the navigation systems.
There is a corridor. And the corridor is time. It surrounds all things.
On display, I eventually had to go down to the cellar. That's the display department. With a torch. The lights are probably gone. So had the stairs.
Yours is number 6.
I am not a number. I am a person.
Welcome to British Invaders, episode 224. This is the podcast all about British science fiction television, and this time we are talking about ghost stories for Christmas. This is Brian from Canada.
And this is Eamon in England. Hello. Yes, we're back with our annual look at the seasonal delights of the BBC's Ghost Story for Christmas series and the British Film Institute's box set of DVDs. And we're turning to two of the stories that we've not got to yet. You'll remember that we've done some of these before, but here are two new stories for us at least. And they are The Stalls of Barchester, which came out in 1971 and was 45 minutes long. And then from 2 years later in 1973, Lost Hearts, a shorter episode of 35 minutes or thereabouts.
Yes, and these are more seasonal, spooky short stories from M.R. James, who wrote many ghost stories. And these were, of course, produced by the BBC in their quite successful run of doing these annual ghost stories throughout most of the 1970s.
Yes, as we say, the ever enjoyable seasonal delights of a good chilling story, draw up by the fireplace and sit back and enjoy. Because as you say, Brian, we've got some M.R. James spooks to discuss.
Yes, ghost stories at Christmas time are very much a British tradition. A lot of other places you don't get it as much, but it is a tradition there, and it was something that the BBC adopted in a way that was really quite neat. So we'll start by discussing The Stalls of Barchester, which is an adaptation of M.R. James' story, The Stalls of Barchester Cathedral, which appeared in his second collection called More Ghost Stories, which was published in 1911. And this was actually the first of the stories that the BBC had under the A Ghost Story for Christmas banner or series that was done once a year for a while there. Prior to this, they had done Whistle and I'll Come to You, also by M.R. James, but that one was part of the BBC Omnibus series in 1968, and it was not actually at Christmas time. But it was part of the motivation to move forward with these Christmas ghost stories.
Yes, and you'll probably remember that we talked about Whistle and I'll Come to You and that 1968 production the very first time we turned to this particular box set, because it is included, although it's not officially one of the BBC Ghost Story for Christmas series that went out under that banner. But yeah, it's an interesting story. We will touch on it as we go along, but we are, as you say, Brian, focusing to begin with on The Stalls of Barchester. And this was adapted for television and directed by Lawrence Gordon Clark, whose name was most associated with the BBC series in the 70s. And here we are with the very first story in that series, which kicks us off. So we'll talk about the characters in The Stalls of Barchester first. We have Dr. Black, played by Clive Swift. And Dr. Black is an archivist who is cataloguing the library of Barchester Cathedral. So in many respects, he's quite a classic M.R. James character. He's an academic looking into books and old documents and so on. And, of course, he's helped in his task by the librarian, played by the actor Will Leighton, who shows him a sort of mysterious sealed box of documents. And this box includes the diary of the late Archdeacon Haynes, who died under rather mysterious circumstances, but had been the Archdeacon of Barchester Cathedral.
Yes, that's right. And Archdeacon Haynes himself appears in flashback sequences, played by Robert Hardy. So interesting stuff and a neat character there. And his sister, Letitia, played by Thelma Barlow, also appears and moves into the archdeacon's house after the previous incumbent falls to his death at the advanced age of 92. So we have this sort of idea of the people moving in and out of that position and residence and so on.
Yes, and we should perhaps point out that the Dr. Black and the librarian is sort of the framing device, because most of the story is told in the flashback to the past events of Archdeacon Haynes and, the Archdeacon's house. He's obviously been waiting for his rise for quite some time because of his predecessor's advanced age. But finally, he and his sister move into the house as he takes up the role of archdeacon.
Yes, and there, as you say, very much is the sense of this being a framing device and then the real story being told in the flashback sequences. So getting into the story a little bit more, the new archdeacon is very uneasy. He's hearing voices whispering to him in the house and sort of seeing and hearing strange things.
That's right. But it's not just the house that he and his sister live in. It's also the cathedral itself where he has some uneasy experiences. And he's particularly troubled by two wooden carvings on the stalls, the seat he takes in the stalls of the cathedral. Obviously, this is where the story gets its title. And one of the figures is of a cat, and the other one appears to be the hooded figure of Death himself. And you probably won't be too surprised to find that when he rests his hands on these figures, well, sometimes he gets rather unpleasant experiences, Brian.
Yes, that's right. And they are portrayed, I think, rather well as being quite strange and unpleasant and very old carved figures.
Yes, that's right, which we'll find out a little bit more of the history of those figures as the story goes on. Meanwhile, back in the framing device, we've got Dr. Black continuing his researches with the librarian and beginning to suspect that the archdeacon might have had somewhat of a guilty conscience about the death of his predecessor.
Yes, that's right. So getting into some production notes specifically about the Stalls of Barchester, it was filmed on location in and around Norwich Cathedral. And the scenes of Haynes alone and in his house were shot mostly in darkness, and actually quite well, with, as it seems to us, only a single candle near to the actor Robert Hardy's face illuminating things. I imagine they used other light sources to film it, but it really looked like you had this minimal lighting with just the candle.
Yes, it is rather well done, as you say. It just appears to be Hardy's face and the candle, and he's hearing noises off camera. So we don't see what's making the noises for the most part, which, of course, contributes greatly to the spooky atmosphere and works very well. We've also got some outside location shooting in a wood which is called Holywood, where Archdeacon Haynes will learn something of the history of the wood carvings and of the man who created them. I have to say, it does look particularly like a very cold, wintry shoot, with Robert Hardy wearing his cloak and actual snow falling while the two actors are walking through the wood. Looks like a particularly, I think, chilly filming experience, I think, Brian.
Which does work quite well for the story, I think, as this very sort of cold, harsh kind of feel to it.
Yes, I mean, right away with the first of the BBC's Ghost Stories for Christmas, we're in a very sort of wintry, cold environment. And as you say, it all just builds up, plus the marvellous sort of lighting of Robert Hardy haunted by strange noises in his house. And it all draws us into and serves up this marvellous, spooky atmosphere.
Yes, absolutely. The Stalls of Barchester was broadcast on Christmas Eve in 1971. So let's get into now production notes a little more generally for A Ghost Story for Christmas. Now, we discussed way back in British Invaders 57, when we were first looking at some of these M.R. James stories, we discussed M.R. James stuff and some of his stories and the like back then. We won't get into his life and sort of what he did with ghost stories and so on right now, but we should say that Lawrence Gordon Clark sort of spearheaded this 1970s A Ghost Story for Christmas series that had a total of 8 episodes, one each year, and Lawrence Gordon Clark himself directed all but one of them and was heavily involved with the whole process.
Yes, he's the figure most associated with these ghost stories from the 70s. You'll hear from him when you actually get to the box set itself, because he does filmed introductions for the stories, which are quite helpful as well. And he adapted and produced the first 2 stories all by himself. And we know that he very much intended to recreate the sort of seasonal idea of a spooky tale told around the fireplace at Christmas time, something that we know M.R. James did himself with his friends and students at Cambridge and at Eton. And as you say, Brian, a very sort of traditional thing in Britain to have a ghost story at Christmas. And of course, Lawrence Gordon Clark may have been influenced by Jonathan Miller's production of from 1968. Exactly how much of an influence it was, we're not sure, but it's always talked about when Christmas ghost stories on television are discussed. And of course, it's included on this box set, which helps with the association. Although it was a sort of a different production, it was black and white, it was rather experimental and avant-garde and slightly perhaps controversial, Brian.
Yes, that was Whistle and I'll Come to You, and it was again from an M.R. James story and sort of influential in sort of the style of adapting that in some ways, although it was quite a jump in many ways going from that to the stories that were done in the 1970s. It's also notable that in that 1968 film, Miller chose to cast doubt on the idea of it being supernatural, of the events being supernatural, and he sort of added different ideas about social class and this sort of thing. So it had, in many ways, a different direction from the original story, where Lawrence Gordon Clark, with the Stalls of Barchester Cathedral, took that story and adapted it, in most ways, quite faithfully.
Yes, it is very close to the story if you read it yourself. And while we're on the subject, I'll perhaps mention that there is no actual Barchester in England. So there is no Barchester Cathedral. This is M.R. James, as he often did, making up names for places that he'd visited and perhaps disguised in his stories. I think he may have got the name Barchester from the Anthony Trollope stories, which are also feature a lot of church-based stories around Barchester.
And it was one of the short stories of the M.R. James wrote many of these ghost stories. And in some of them, it was the narrator, sometimes interpreted as James himself, who was doing the investigation sort of told in the first person of these events. And that's what it was in the Stalls of Barchester Cathedral.
That's right. But here, of course, in the TV version, we don't have M.R. James doing the research. We have Dr. Black, a character who we believe was created by Lawrence Gordon Clark for the television series. And Clive Swift not only played Dr. Black here, but next year he would play the same character in the 1972 ghost story, which was A Warning to the Curious, which we discussed, as I say, right back in British Invaders 57 and 58.
Yes, and that's one of the biggest sort of variations from the original M.R. James stories. Many of the stories they adapted were by M.R. James. And it was this sort of unusual idea where they varied from them by adding this character who would appear in each one. And he was originally intended to appear for the whole run of them as long as they were making them. But they dropped the idea after the first two. He only appeared in those two stories.
Yes. Now, whether that's because Dr. Black didn't fit into the third story, Lost Hearts, or maybe the actor wasn't available. But yes, as you say, they dropped the idea. And I'm sort of struck by a slight similarity to the 1960s ITV series Mystery and Imagination, which we've visited a couple of times. And we know that the first season there, they had a similar idea of having one character who would appear in all the stories as a sort of linking device. But now they dropped that character again for later series, I believe, Brian.
Yes, they did. That's right. So you're right. It does feel quite similar that they had something that was very much like an anthology series, you know, with different stories that were not connected, but then adding in this common character. The BBC actually revived A Ghost Story for Christmas in 2005, and between 2005 and 2013, they did four more M.R. James ghost stories that were all at Christmas time, two of them under that heading, A Ghost Story for Christmas, and two of them did not have that label. But all four of them very much fit into that, which was very nice to have that coming back.
Yes, that's right. We've covered the first two of the revival stories, which, as you say, went out under the official A Ghost Story for Christmas banner. And then the later stories, another adaptation of Whistle and I'll Come to You, and Mark Gatiss's adaptation of the tractate Midoth. The John Hurt version of O Whistle I Come To You is on the box set that we're going to talk about in a moment. But as far as we know, Brian, we were talking about this before, there hasn't yet been a DVD release of the tractate Midoth from 2013.
Yes, that's right. It would be nice to see that, but it was not included in this box set, presumably because it was actually broadcast after the box set was released.
So let's talk about it and the availability of this box set. Here in Region 2, we're very fortunate, but we have this splendid and comprehensive set from the British Film Institute. The version you want is the extended 6-disc set that came out in 2013, which, as we've said, has everything on there, including the 1968 Jonathan Miller Whistle and I'll Come to You, right the way up to the John Hurt 2010 version, but just missing that tractate Midoth, as you say, Brian, which was broadcast shortly after its release.
It also has some televised readings of M.R. James stories that were done by Christopher Lee and Robert Powell. Those are included on it as well. And some other readings of stories and some lovely extras and interviews. So it's quite a neat box set.
Yes, that's right. You've got, as I've said, you've got the introductions by Lawrence Gordon Clark, although they do contain spoilers for the story. So you sort of almost want to watch his introductions after you've watched the episode. Plus, you've got, again, a rather nice comprehensive notes booklet, again with spoilers but lots of useful information, and all in all, it's quite a lovely package, really, Brian.
Yes, it really is.
Currently here in Region 2 on amazon.co.uk, £38, but it does pack in so many episodes and so much good stuff that you'll keep coming back to it year after year, as in fact we are doing here on British Invaders. So I think it is well worth the money. Over here at the moment, it's the only way to get hold of these stories. They're not available on any of the rental sites that I can find. But there we are, a nice box set from the BFI and the BBC that's well worth the investment. But unfortunately, in Region 1, Brian,
there is no release of these in Region 1. Your best shot for this would be to import the Region 2 one, if you can play that.
Okay, but as we've beginning to suggest, and in fact we've suggested in the past, it probably is worth doing if you are interested in the ghost stories of M.R. James.
Yes, and some ghost stories that are not by M.R. James are included as well, such as The Signalman by Charles Dickens.
Yes, another splendid story, which we have talked about before. Absolutely worth looking at that particular story. And if you do know of any other legal ways of watching these stories on any rental sites, then please do get in touch with us or come in on the Facebook page and let us know.
Yes, absolutely. So next time, we will look at the 1973 episode, Lost Hearts. And we may even do some comparisons between these stories and some of the others, and which ones we would tend to prefer or recommend.
Absolutely. We'll give our reviews and recommendations on these two particular stories and whether they should form part of your seasonal viewing. So plenty of stuff to talk about when we come back.
Absolutely. Until then, you can find us at BritishInvaders.com. And if you search for British Invaders on Facebook, you can find our Facebook group with plenty of fun discussions and posts about different things. That's always tends to have some interesting things going on.
Yes, as we record, it's the day after Halloween. And on the Facebook group, we're discussing scariest television moments or episodes ever. So come along and join us for that. Or drop by vognetwork.com. That's the Voice of Geeks internet streaming channel where you'll find British Invaders and several other geek-related shows and podcasts going out on a regular basis. We have a Monday and a Tuesday slot, but there's plenty of other stuff to listen to at the Voice of Geeks, vognetwork.com.
Yes, nice community going there. So thank you for listening, and this is Brian from Canada signing off.
Yes, thank you very much for listening. Until some more spooky fun next time, it's Eamon in England also signing off.